You're listening to the Westside Podcast, a part of the LA International Church of Christ family of churches, worshiping God in LA since 1989.
Amen. So one quick word of congratulations as well. So Erica Alonso, she's recently graduated in her doctorate. So congratulations. She is now a doctor of education in leadership and social justice. So congratulations. Well done, Erica. Great job. Well done. So today we are looking at praying in the Spirit. And this is our last sermon on the Holy Spirit series. So hopefully we've been able to tackle some of the questions that you posted for us. If there is anything else, we will try to weave them in at some point in the future. And then from July, we're going to be dovetailing into this by looking at praying through the Psalms. Because one of the things that you said you wanted to work on and grow in, as well as the community, was deepening in your prayer. So we'll be journeying through Psalms in July and August. So praying in the Spirit, we see... It's a very interesting text. We see it about three times within the New Testament. But to give us some context of what this means, I'm going to take you back to about a year or so ago, a year and a half ago, when we were studying out the Gospel of John. So we find this scripture, and this is important that we get the context so that I can give you my position on what I think praying in the Spirit means. So this is a tough one because I don't think we really know 100% what this means, but this is my suggestion of what it might be. So John chapter 2, when the Jewish Passover was near, Jesus went up to Jerusalem in the temple courts. He found men selling cattle, sheep, and doves, and money changers seated at their tables. So he made a whip out of cords and drove all from the temple courts, both sheep and cattle. He poured out the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. To those selling doves, he said, "Get out of here. How dare you turn my father's house into a marketplace?" Now, if you remember, Jesus was so irate by what he saw because the people there who had turned it into a marketplace were stopping the Gentiles from praying to God. Do you remember that? And the reason why is because there was a prophecy all the way back in Isaiah that says this: "And the foreigners who join themselves to the Lord, who love the name of Yahweh and become his servants, I will bring them to my holy mountain and let them rejoice in my house of prayer. For my house will be called a house of prayer for all nations." You see, it was God's plan that the temple would be a place where anybody and everybody could come to find God through prayer. And so when we see, remember this picture, we saw that the place where the Gentiles were allowed to pray to God, this is what had been turned into a marketplace. So the very place where they were coming to connect with God, their lifeline to find God, it was being blocked by the market, by it being turned into a marketplace. That's why he was so mad. That's why he was so angry about what he saw. You see, the temple, though, was the central focal point of people's worship of God. They believed that it was the place from which God's power emanated into the world. And so when the Jews prayed, they prayed facing Jerusalem. If they were praying in Jerusalem, they prayed towards the temple. If they were praying in the temple, they prayed towards the Holy of Holies. That represented God. Ultimately, their prayers directed to the temple were a reflection of their relationship with God himself. And it's kind of similar even today. People will go to the Wailing Wall in Jerusalem as if they are praying to God himself. And if you think about it, this is, again, as I said, why Jesus was so angry, because it was stopping even the Gentiles from finding and reaching God. Think about for us, how many of you came to the Lord because of a prayer that you prayed, or as a result of you beginning to pray about God? So quite a few of us. I remember wrestling with Islam, wondering whether, is Islam true? Should I become a Muslim? And all of that journey. And I remember praying and saying, God, if Islam is not your truth, Show me what your truth is. I want to know you. I want to find you. And then 4 days later, some random guy stops me on the street in London, who I thought was a complete lunatic, but was the most powerful, spiritual, God-fearing man I had ever met in my life. And I'm like, okay, God, thank you. I got it. We've got it from here. So God uses our prayers before we're even saved to bring him to us. And that is why Jesus was so angry, because they were being stopped from praying. I think Jesus would absolutely have agreed with Billy Graham's quote here that says, prayer is our lifeline to God. You see, not only for us as Christians, but even for people wanting to know God and find God and reach out to God. I really think that prayer connects us to God like nothing else. We read the Bible, and the Bible's amazing, and it is powerful, it gives us direction, but sometimes even our reading of it can be just quite intellectual. But prayer is all about that relationship. Prayer is relational. So, as we said, Jesus was angry because it was stopping them from finding God, from their lifeline to God. Now, once Jesus had died, risen, and ascended, we see the new covenant. So is it important for them to be praying in the temple? Is it a necessity? Maybe there's a means of a different connection to God through prayer in a different way. However, what we do see, though, is in the book of Acts, we find the early Jewish Christians, when they go to a different city, they go to places of prayer to still connect with God. They found Jewish places of prayer. We even see perhaps maybe the Gentiles might have done the same. Their religious tradition would have meant that they would have gone to a temple to pray, maybe to Artemis or to so on. So for the very early church, praying in a temple was still very much part of the community. And then we find these scriptures. So Paul reminds the church and he says to them, "Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in your midst? Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have received from God?" So Paul is trying to create a shift in the focus of the temple here. So he says, listen, yes, before you would have prayed to the temple, but now you guys, you, the community of Christians, you now are the focal point of God in the world. You are the temple now. The temple is right here in Culver City. That people come to find God from within our community. You're the temple. He also says, though, that the temple is living within us because the Spirit of God dwells within us. Does that make sense? So his presence is no longer in the Holy of Holies. He's inside every single one of us who are disciples of Jesus Christ. So can you imagine in the first century, some of the Christians were talking and they say, hey, let's go to the temple so that we can pray. But then one of the others says, oh, we don't need to go to the temple anymore. We can pray right here, right now, because the Spirit of God is within us. That would have been a big paradigm shift for them. Does that make sense? So, what does praying in the Spirit, therefore, mean? Just let me put that out there and then we can try and answer it. So let's look at some of the scriptures on praying in the Spirit. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. Jude 20. But you, dear friends, build yourselves up in your most holy faith and pray in the Holy Spirit. What I think Paul is saying, and Jude is writing, is that we don't need to be restricted by where we pray, when we pray, what prayers we pray any longer, like the Jews would have prayed. They had their three set times of prayer. We don't have to face Jerusalem anymore. We can pray at any time, with any prayers, facing any direction, because the Spirit of God is within you. That is what I think, on a simple terms, praying in the Spirit is, rather than praying in the temple. That's the difference. It is what we do each and every day. We pray in the Spirit, rather than us going to the temple to pray. Does that make sense? Okay, so that's it in basic terms, what I think that means. However, I do think, though, there is also a distinction between praying and praying in the Spirit. So let's examine that for a moment. So here, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 15. So what shall I do? I will pray with my spirit, but I will also pray with my mind. I will sing with my spirit, but I will also sing with my mind. Now, there are times when perhaps you've sang a worship song and you've just gone through the motions of singing it. Anyone relate to that? But there are other times when you've sang a worship song and you've been moved to tears. You've been moved spiritually and emotionally. One of those is perhaps singing in the spirit with your spirit, and the other one is just singing. Okay, do you see the difference? He also says there's a difference when we pray. Do you see that in the verse? He says sometimes, he says, I will pray. When I pray, I want to pray with my spirit. So I think praying in the spirit is having this depth of connection rather than just saying words. Now, sometimes I think God is like, I would rather hear words from you than nothing. And I think he's okay with that. And sometimes that's all we can offer is just words. He's still listening. But there are other times, though, when I think praying in the Spirit means that we are going even deeper in our prayers with God. You know, the Bible says in Revelation that our prayers are like golden bowls of incense going up to God. I think sometimes when we pray in those moments where we're praying in the Spirit, praying deeply, it's almost like in heaven God's like, oh, Tracy just prayed. What is that beautiful smell? As her prayers go offer up to God. And there are other times, as I said, when we just pray, and that's okay. But there's a difference. There's a difference of connection. So let's bring in the Holy Spirit now for a moment. So what does the Holy Spirit do for us? What have we been learning as we've been going through this course of study? So help me out here. What are some of the things that the Holy Spirit does for us that we've been learning about? He intercedes for us. Fantastic. Teaches us, guides us, helps us, comforts us. Amen to that. Counsels us. Okay. Amazing things, right? Ultimately, he helps us. Okay, that's his main job and his main role. The word here, remember, for the Holy Spirit is advocate or paraclete. And the proper definition of this is to call to one side to help us. He's a helper. Yes, he's our intercessor. Yes, he's our comforter and our counselor. But the goal here is that we should be learning to live by the Holy Spirit and in accordance with him, keeping in step with him. Another way, in Galatians 5, it says that we should be walking in step with the Spirit. And another way for us to understand what that means is that we should be living by means of the Holy Spirit's help. We should be living by means of the Holy Spirit's help, because that's what he is. He's our helper. Okay? He helps us in all of these things. So let me explain this for a second. So Galatians 5. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Galatians 5:25. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. So another way we could look at these verses, and it's correct to look at it in this way, is that we could say, walk by means of the Spirit. Okay? Keep in step, make sure your life is keeping in step with the Spirit by means of the Holy Spirit. So we are allowing him into our life to be able to help us. So when it comes to prayer, I think praying in the Spirit could be this. Praying in the Spirit means that we learn to pray by means of the Spirit. Because he's helping us in all other parts of our life, surely we should be creating space within our prayer lives for him to be helping us in those moments too. Now, Lupe already shared one of the verses today that shows us this in her welcome. So let's look at a couple of these. So in Romans chapter 8, verse 15, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. Because you are his sons and daughters, Galatians 4, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So the first thing that the Spirit does in our relationship with God in prayer is that he helps to remind us and helps us to know that God is our Abba Father, that he is our dad. He prompts us to pray to our Father, prompts us to pray to dad. Now, prayer is a spiritual battle, is it not? To pray in the spirit is definitely a spiritual battle. Satan does not want you to pray, and he does not want you to pray deeply. No way. It is a spiritual battle. That is why praying in the spirit, that term, we find it at the end of Ephesians 6 where it says, put on the full armor of God. Prayer is at the end because it's a spiritual battle, and this is one of the weapons that we can wield. So when we look at this scripture in here about Abba Father, the Holy Spirit is trying to draw us to a deeper connection with God by reminding us that God is our dad. He is our perfect Heavenly Father, and he loves us so much. About a year ago, our family went out for a hike. And as we were there was a Jewish family out here in LA. And the dad went on ahead to set up for a picnic. And the son called out to his dad. And he shouted out, Abba! Abba! And then the dad turned around and, you know, came and helped his son. That's the first time I had ever heard the word Abba being used apart from seeing it in the Bible. And it hit me. It was so powerful to hear that word being used. And it made me think that is what God is wanting us to be calling out to him in the same way. So when we pray, the Bible says the Holy Spirit is helping us to call out to our Heavenly Father in the same way. Now, I know that some of us have not had great relationships with our dad. I know that. And mine definitely was far from perfect. But God says, you have me as your perfect Heavenly Father. I am now your dad. I am a father to the fatherless. That's who he tells us he is in Psalm 68. And so we can go with confidence, we can go with joy to God in prayer by calling out to him, Abba, Dad, Daddy, because that's who he is to us. He loves spending time with you. Even when you don't really know what to say, he loves just hearing from you. You know, as a parent of grown boys and men, I love when they invite me into their world. When they like, you know, and I'll ask questions to them and they're like, all right, can I go now? But when they say, hey, dad, let me tell you about this. Or dad, this is what's going on. It just melts my heart because they're like, they're letting me into their world. That's what it's like when we pray to God. I really believe that because he's our dad. He wants to hear from us. It never needs to be difficult. It never needs to be awkward because he loves us so, so much. Now, as I said, the challenge is sometimes we see God based on our relationship with our earthly father. And there's some unpacking and some undoing to be done with that. He's so different. He's so far from that. So the more that, and the Spirit helps us in those moments to understand what that relationship looks like. Okay, are you ready for your weekly Willard? Okay, arrange your life so that you are experiencing deep contentment, joy and confidence in your everyday life with God. They're always so good, but they seem just to get better and better. I love this one. Amazing. You see, it's really important that we remind ourselves what God thinks of us every day, because it's more true than what other people think of us. It is more reliable than how you feel on any given day about yourself. And it is more loving than what we might have been told repeatedly growing up, even by our well-meaning parents, perhaps. So we have to find ways, and the Holy Spirit helps us, to connect with God, particularly in prayer, because that's the relational point, to remind ourselves of this, the most important relationship that we have in the entire universe, you and your dad. That's what the Spirit's role is. Okay, let's move on to the final point about this praying in the Spirit. So I grew up, my dad left when I was a year old, and he moved back to the U.S. And so he would call from time to time, and I would come to visit from when I was about the age of 12. And then when we would call, though, because there was so much distance and time between us, I didn't always know what to say. And let me be honest, he wasn't the most talkative of people. So we would get on the phone and I would have to think about what I was going to be talking to him about. I would think in advance, questions to ask him, things to say, otherwise there would be silence, you know, on the call. That was the kind of relationship that I had. The Spirit does the same thing for us in our relationship with God. Let's read this. Romans chapter 8. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for. Anyone been there? You're just out. You're spending time with God. You're like, I just don't know what to say. I don't know what to bring up. I don't know how to talk about this. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. So even in the middle of our prayers, if we create space to listen to the Holy Spirit, he will help us to know what to pray for. And even if we don't know what to pray, he knows what is on our heart and what is in our minds, and he will translate that over for us to God with wordless groans. Now, when I first read this, I thought this was our wordless groans, and maybe it could be. And I sometimes, to be honest, in my prayers, I don't even know what to pray, so I just utter a wordless groan. Just like, oh, because things are so heavy. Anyone been there? Even in those moments, the Spirit says, I know what that's about. And he tells God. That's encouraging. Even in our moments of darkness, if we just bring ourselves into the presence of God, the Spirit takes over. Even if we just sit in silence and we don't know what to say, the Spirit is there to help us and to intercede for us in those moments. That, I think, is praying in the Spirit. In the Gospels, as we finish, we see Jesus praying 25 times. So there's 25 times that reference Jesus praying. But we never see him, or it's termed, Jesus praying in the Spirit. Why? Because he knew the Father already. He had that relationship with the Father that he wants us to have. We, though, we need to learn how to build that relationship with our dad, with our Heavenly Father. And that's the Spirit's role. It's to help us. Number one, to call out to him as our Abba Father. And number two, to show us what we should be praying. In Ephesians chapter 1, final scripture, Paul writes this. He says, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. See, all that God wants for you is to know him better, is to know him as Jesus knows him, to know him as the Holy Spirit knows him. That's all he wants for every single one of us. And how does he do that? How does he do that? Through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit helps us in prayer to know God better. So, what does praying in the Spirit mean? Ask your dad. Today, tomorrow, ask him. Invite him in and say, Lord, show me what praying in the Spirit means. If today you feel like there's a little bit of a disconnect, perhaps between you and God as your father, as your dad, there's a free book that I'd like just to recommend. It's called He Loves Me. It's quite an old book, but it's a beautiful book all about building a deeper connection with God as your father. It's free. This is a free PDF, okay? Beautiful book, really easy to read, but it connects, I think, with some of the trauma that we sometimes carry into our relationship with God. And I really believe in doing so, that perhaps it will open up for you to have a deeper connection with God through the Holy Spirit and in prayer. Amen. Thank you.
You've just listened to the Westside Podcast. For more information about our ministry, please visit thewestsidechurch.com or laicc.net.